Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The gifts of the Spirit are given to us for the profit of all. They're not given to you so you can go, well, I really feel privileged in the kingdom of God that I have the gift of knowledge or tongues or teaching. Nope. It's to be able to minister to other people. That's the whole goal.
Are you using your gift? Do you know what your gift is? You have one. Oh, yes, you do. If you are a child of God, the Bible says you have a God-given spiritual gift, maybe more than one, made possible by the Holy Spirit. We're in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 17 through 31, and we're looking at spiritual gifts and God's perfect purpose for them. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
You have placed your word above your name. And we who obey it become like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. Lord, we thank you that we can have this time of taking your word that you have preserved from generation to generation and learning from it. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Jesus said that you are the light of the world. He said, you don't light a light and then put a basket over it. He said, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. In other words, when he lights you and you are called to be the light of this world, you can't be hidden, the work that God's doing inside of you. He said that you are the salt of the earth. He told Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I give you the keys to the kingdom. We've been given the keys to the kingdom. Now, imagine if you were told all that, but God didn't equip you to do any of it. God said, you're the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth, you've been given the keys to the kingdom, but just go out, you know, go take care of it. But Jesus told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem, and they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. God gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us to be witnesses. And here we are in the uttermost parts of the earth away from Jerusalem to fulfill that which God has given us. But Paul has another reason now as he focuses on the gifts. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit, which anoints us and empowers us to be witnesses. But now we have the gifts of the Spirit that are given to us for the body of Christ. We're going to see that as we get into this chapter. It's because God wants us to interact with one another. God wants us to minister to one another. God wants us to meet one another's needs. Jesus said, and they will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. Us getting to know one another, being there for each other, carrying one another's burdens, lifting each other up in prayer and encouragement, praying for one another, gently correcting one another. All of those things are for evangelism. What do I mean by that? I mean that when the world sees the love that we have, which is a unique, real, deep, profound love, they know that we are disciples of Jesus. They know that we are really following after him. We don't have to prove it. They'll be able to see it, and it's a key part of our evangelism. It's one of the reasons that I believe that the church can be weak in evangelism if there isn't that real love and that bonding with one another. Now, Paul says in the first verse of chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, one of the questions that Paul spoke of earlier in the book of Corinthians was probably about spiritual gifts. Most people, Christians, when we become Christians, we have questions about them. We have questions about tongues, interpretation, prophecy. So Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Doesn't want us to remain in a position of not knowing. That you know that you were Gentiles, carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's possible because of the way Paul starts this off that they had some questions about speaking in unknown languages. The problem about talking in tongues you don't understand is you don't know what you're saying. I realize that's very obvious, a problem. If you're given a gift of tongues you don't understand. When you say them, you don't know what they're saying. So someone could say, well, I know the tongues you were speaking, and you were cursing God. And there are those stories that circulate today. They circulated back in the days that I was in the Pentecostal churches, and they circulate around today. People say, well, I went into a church, people were speaking in tongues, and they were cursing God in tongues. And so some who will say, I don't ever want to pray for the gift of tongues, lest I curse him. Listen, you don't ever have to worry about opening yourself up to the gifts of God. God is not going to give you a demon if you ask him for the Holy Spirit. God's not going to let him come in and cause you to curse God in a tongue if you genuinely say, God, I want everything you have for me. I want all God has. And if God gifts us to be able to do work with one another, then I don't want to reject those gifts that God's given us. And so he says, no one by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one says Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. And then he gets into the gifts. And I love verses 4 and 5. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversity in activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And I have three words underlined there. I have diversities, differences, ministries. There in verse 4 and 5. Diversities, differences, and ministries. Actually, it would be diversities of gifts, differences of ministries, and diversities in activities. So it's activities, ministries, and gifts. All right? So in other words, the gifts of the Spirit are not always going to look the same. It's really easy for me to tell you, this is the way that I've seen the gift of wisdom work, and that's the way it always works. We have a tendency to do that, to think that God works the same way every way, but God doesn't do it. Revealed by the fact that he never healed two people the same in the Scriptures. And so we might have 10 different people that have 10 different positions in the body, and they all need the gift of teaching, and that gift of teaching would work differently in each person. There might be people who are doing the same ministries, but they're doing different activities within that ministry, and the gifts of the Spirit would look different. So as I explain to you basically what these gifts of the Spirit are, realize they manifest themselves in different ways, in different peoples, in different ministries, and in different activities. That we can draw lines and say God works this way, but rarely have I found that God works in the boxes that we make for him. There are boundaries that God has because of whom he is. God is God and he is holy. That's a boundary. He can't go into unholiness. He can never sin. That's a boundary. So God has his own boundaries because of who he is. But when I make a box for God, God rarely stays in it. God can do what God wants to do. That's the whole idea here. So God uses these gifts in different ways. And I think sometimes we want to box him in. This is the way I've seen it happen. So this is the way that God would do it. And so in verse 7, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit. The word manifestation means the revealing. God reveals the Holy Spirit inside of you by giving you gifts. To manifest to people around you that you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, but I think even more than that, to manifest to you that you have a gift of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. You need to know that. And when you see the gifts operating in your life, then you know that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you say, well, I've asked God for the Holy Spirit, but I haven't had any manifestations of the Holy Spirit, well, then ask him. Keep asking. Don't give up. Keep asking. Ask that God would gift you with the gifts of the Spirit because they are manifest. And Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, as each one of you has received a gift, minister that gift to one another. Every person in here who's a Christian has received a gift, at least one. It says minister that not with your own ability, but with the ability that God supplies so God gets the glory. A spiritual gift is not a talent you have. A spiritual gift is not a skill you have developed. You may be really talented. Maybe have been born with a talent. You may be a prodigy. That's not what we're talking about. You may be skilled. You may have worked the same job for 15 years and you are super skilled in what you do. And you can use those skills and those talents for God. You need to. We give everything to him, our talents and our skills. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about gifts. They are supernaturally given to you. It's not a talent. It's not a skill. It is a gift given to you by God. And it manifests the fact that the Spirit is at work within you. So he says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, I said in the beginning that we want to find out what the gifts are, but more importantly, we want to find out what they're for. And so here we have our first clue. The gifts of the Spirit are given to us for the profit of all. They're not given to you so you can go, well, I really feel privileged in the kingdom of God that I have the gift of knowledge or tongues or teaching. Nope. It's to be able to minister to other people. That's the whole goal. For to one, it says, is given the word of wisdom. Isn't that interesting? That when Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit, the very first gift he talks about is wisdom. I've been in prayer meetings where we ask God for different gifts of the Spirit, but I've never heard anybody say, Lord, give us the gift of wisdom. I don't know if there could be any greater gift to pray for. The ability, wisdom is when you know the right thing to do in the right circumstances. Life is full of nuances. Do you know what I mean by that? You can't always do the same thing in every situation. Life is nuanced, and doing the right thing takes some wisdom. Some of you guys, you're born with wisdom. You just seem to do the right thing at the right time. Some of you guys have learned it over years. The school of hard knocks has taught you wisdom. Oh, don't stick your hand in there. It hurts, you know? You've learned it. But this is a supernatural gift that God gives you, the best thing to do in the best circumstances, in a life that is greatly nuanced, understanding those things. And what great wisdom for you to have in ministry in the body of Christ. Imagine how you can minister to people if God gave you the gift of wisdom. You would have to be humble. You'd have to be humble as you interact with people, but as you were able to share with people. This is a great gift for counselors to have. Because someone sits down and starts telling you the difficulties and the struggles that you're having, and you're going over the Word of God, but knowing how to apply the Word of God is wisdom. And so having this gift would be great for that. In fact, as I pray for the gifts of the Spirit, I'm determined after this study today that I want to pray for two of them. The first one is wisdom. So he says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge. Now this is the ability to know something that you don't know. I don't know how it always works. I have a feeling that this gift operates in a lot of different ways. But when I was a teenager, I was going to the Foursquare Church. We had a guy come and share. His name was Brother Beard. And afterwards, he walked through the where we were sitting. Kind of music was playing. We were worshiping. And he had different people stand up. And he spoke to them. He had me stand up. I'm 19 years old. He says, I think that God, or however he said, thus saith the Lord, he may have said, I don't remember exactly how he did it, but he said, you're going to continue in your business, which I don't know how he knew I had a business. He said, then God's going to take you to another city and you're going to start a church. Now there's two options here. Either he talked to somebody about me before the service or God was doing something there. And the reason I think it was God and not the first is because he said, you're going to move to another city and you're going to start a church. Why would God give him a word for me? Was it so that I would do it? I don't think so. I forgot about the word he gave until years later. You know why I think God gave it to me? Because about 10 years into the church here, we went through a really difficult time. Some of the most difficult times the churches have to do with people. And we had some conflict with some people. And it was really hard. And I was really discouraged. And I remember the Lord speaking to me, you remember that before you even came here, I told you were going to do it. You're right where you need to be. It was something God has given me. I'm not saying that's the only way that the gift of knowledge works, but it's one way it works, and it's a way it's worked in my life. That guy knew things about me, and in the future, in a prophetic way, we could probably say that was the gift of prophecy and the gift of knowledge. God wanted me to know certain things. The gift of knowledge could operate in other ways, in different ministries, in different activities. We also understand from 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, though I have all knowledge and though I understand all mysteries, that's the context. The context is spiritual gifts when he's talking about love. So it could be this idea of maybe God giving you knowledge you don't have for whatever purposes God desires to. It says to another faith. That's another great gift to have. That's my second one to pray for, by the way. The gift of wisdom and the gift of faith. Oh man, if we had those gifts, if God gave us the gift of faith and we stepped out to see what God was going to do, and if we had the gift of wisdom to be able to apply these things, he says by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healings. Now notice that that's in plural, the gifts of healings, two of them, meaning that this would be a gift that is given to an individual, not permanently. It's the gifts of healings. It isn't the gift of healing. If it was singular, the gift of healing, that guy would have the gift and he would always have it, the gift of healing. But if it's the gifts of healings, God's giving him the gifts, it's plural, he gives it to him when he wants him to have it. If you had the gift of healing, like some claim to have, like Benny Hinn or V.W. Grant used to claim, or Oral Roberts used to claim, if you had the gift of healings and you use that to go and hold crusades and pass Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets instead of going down to the children's hospital and praying for those kids and healing them, I don't know what kind of person you would be. God heals, and God gives people gifts of healings, and God does miraculous things. The crazy thing about Benny Hinn ministry, I don't mean to just isolate him out, by the way, but I kind of am, is there's not been one documented case, not one documented case of healing. You would think that if he had the ability to heal people like he's got the ability to wave his jacket around and knock people down, that there would be one documented case. Now, I have a friend who went to a Benny Hinn rally and says that they were healed. I have no reason to believe that they weren't healed by him. You could say, well, how could that be then if you don't think he has the gift of healing and your friend goes and is healed? Because I think God honored their faith. I think there are so many people that go to these things, and when he says, I'm going to pray for you and you're going to be healed, it's a point of their faith, and God honors them instead of the guy who's just collecting the money for whatever reason to go out and buy the multi-million dollar house and all the other things that they do. And I'm not just talking about Benny Hinn because I don't know enough details about his life to talk on those fashions. I'm just saying that's what these healers, these faith healers, have done, and that has been their MO. So the gifts of healing is when God gives you a gift, maybe one time to heal somebody, or God gives you you have the gifts of healings, which means that it's something that recurs to you. Never in the Bible do we see one person with the gift of healing except for Jesus. Paul had the gift of healing, so much so that he could send his handkerchiefs to someone to be healed. We could call that a miracle too, by the way. But yet Paul told Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach. Why didn't Paul say, I'm going to send you a handkerchief and let's get your stomach healed? But instead, take a little wine for your stomach. Paul himself had an eye malady. Paul told the Galatians, I was hindered by the Holy Spirit from leaving you. You would have torn out your own eyes and given them to me. And note the great size of the letters that I'm writing to you. This is what I do when I write in my own hand. He would sign the end of his letters by writing a few lines, largely, probably because he had an eye problem. So the gifts of healings, I'm not saying God doesn't heal, right? God heals. We've prayed for people. We've seen them healed. Have faith when you are sick and you pray and ask God to heal you. But there are gifts of healings that are given to individuals, all right? So it goes on and it says, gifts of healings. Then to another, the work of miracles. So there are all kinds of ways in which miracles could work within the body of Christ. There are all kinds of needs people have. Financial needs, physical needs, family crisis. And so God could work miracles through people who pray for those miracles, the gift of miracles. To another, prophecy. Now the Bible says, don't despise prophecy. Because it's easy to despise prophecy. If prophecy works, there's a few ways it could work. It could work through a teaching gift. Somebody could be speaking to someone for God. God could anoint him, giving him a word for somebody there, maybe without him even knowing who it's for. It could be, thus says the Lord, like Brother Beard did with me. Thus says the Lord. God has a word for you from me. I've had people share a lot of words after services with me that are not from God. And I always tell people, listen, I thank you for sharing, and I'll pray about it, and I'm going to take it into consideration. I really am. But the Bible says, let one prophesy and let the others judge. And so I'm going to judge your prophecy. There's only been one, and I may have told you about this last week, that I rejected outright because I just felt immediately it wasn't from God. As I said, it was a dark, dark cloud. Thus says the Lord, this is going to happen to you. And I said, I reject that. I will not live under that cloud, I told him. He said to me, I'm always right. Can you imagine? He wasn't arrogant. I'm always right. I said, is your wife around here? So let's go ask her if you're always right. We'll see if she thinks that your statement that I'm always right is. By the way, his prophecy didn't come true. had another guy come up and say, thus says the Lord. We were doing, this is many years ago, we did a series called The False Teaching of the Faith Movement. And this guy was from the faith movement, and he came up, he was angry at me, and he said, God told me that your church isn't going to exist in 6 months. And I said, okay, well, could you do me a favor? Will you come back in 6 months? And if we're not here, I'll listen to more of what you got to say. But if we're here, will you come and apologize for bringing a false prophecy? Because you just gave a pretty distinct prophecy. We wouldn't be here in 6 months. He was a false prophet. Now, when you have the gift of prophecy, it's a very, the Bible says that a teacher is given over to a stricter judgment by God. That's a scary thing for me, because we're handling the Word of God. And if we handle the Word of God wrongly, or if we don't take the truths that we teach into our lives, then God's going to give us a stricter judgment. Now, can you imagine you speaking for God? You have the gift of prophecy, and you're going to go up to people and say, thus says the Lord. You better be pretty confident on it and go humbly. What do I mean by that? Don't push away. If you have the gift of prophecy, I'm not saying push it away. I'm just saying be humble. You really believe God has given you a word for someone? Then go to them and say, I believe God gave me this word for you. You might even get a jump on the whole judge it thing. You could say, I believe God gave me this word and I'm going to give it to you. And then you judge it because the Bible says, let one prophesy and let the others judge. So this is for you to judge. And by doing that, you're humble. You're saying, I could be wrong. Because despite what this other guy said, we all are wrong. Have you ever been 100% sure about something only to learn that you were wrong? I've been. We could be wrong. So instead we come humbly and we say, I believe that God has given me this word for you. He goes on to say here, the gift of prophecy to another, the discerning of spirits. That's a great gift. The gift to be able to tell if the spirit behind someone is of the spirit of God or demonic spirit. I'm not saying this is the way God works all the time. I'm not even saying it's true across the board. But in my experience, women have more often had the gift of discernment than men. That has just been my experience. It just seems that women kind of have a little bit of intuition, and maybe the Spirit uses them in this by giving them the gift of discernment. That something just isn't right. You guys have that experience? No, I'm crazy? All right. No, a lot of you guys are nodding your head. Yes. All right. It says, to another, different kinds of tongues. And we are going to talk about tongues in chapter 14. So we've got a couple of weeks until we're there. But Paul says, I would rather speak a few words in my understanding. I'm going to paraphrase this statement. I would rather speak a few words in my understanding than thousands in tongues. Because when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. But when you speak to someone in prophecy or teaching, you edify them. And when we gather together, he says, keep silent unless there's an interpreter. And so tongues is always, and I'm going to back this up in chapter 14. I'm going to make the statement now. I'll give you a couple of references, but I'm going to back this up in chapter 14. So we've got all the scriptures. Tongues is always you, your spirit speaking mysteries to God. Tongues is always praise, exaltation. In Acts chapter 2, when the gift of tongues was given, it says, didn't we hear them in our own language magnifying God? In Acts chapter 10, in the Gentile Pentecost, Peter was preaching and they started speaking in tongues. And Peter later said, we heard them magnifying God in tongues. So it was lifting up. In chapter 14, it says, when a man speaks in tongues, his spirit speaks mysteries to God. So you are speaking in a language you don't know. Your spirit is speaking. That's what it said. And you're bypassing your mind. You're able to praise God. Isn't that a desirable gift?
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, Or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.